Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to today's irate, tireless minority entitled Haters and Hypocrites. And I'm entitling it that because that's what the left would have you believe that all the rest of us are, haters and hypocrites, when in reality, they are the haters and the hypocrites. They are the ones marching us towards this grotesque, Hitler-esque future that they so desperately say they want to avoid. Why do I say that? I say that because I have done a modicum of study, and I know that while the American philosophy, the founding principles, values, morals of Christianity that upon which this country were founded, do allow tolerance, and I've talked about this before, The philosophies, ideals, and values of the left, such as they are, if you can say they have any, do not. Communism cannot tolerate dissent. It simply cannot. Because then, you know, people would say what the bad things are about it. And welcome to the show, Red Fox Blogger. Good to see you, Kel. And I'm going to talk a little bit about a lot of things today. So let's go. Politics. There was a video making the rounds of students chanting, "Build the wall." And I want to talk about why that happened. And I did not link to any articles on it because the video has been taken down, as it should have been if it was taken without the parents' permission of their children and posted. But, and I haven't seen it. But the articles about it are so... I haven't linked to any articles. I've linked to my blog posts and to the thing in the Doing What's Right section today because the articles connected with the things I'm talking about are so hateful and biased and nasty that I'm just not going to have them on my blog. Mainstream media doesn't want to play nice? Fine. I'm not going to talk to you about it. Excuse me. And hey, Bigfoot, thanks for joining us. But this video... students chanting "Build the wall," apparently in their class, while Latino students cried, "Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo." Do you want to know why that happened? That happened because these children, our children, the legal citizens of this country, understand on some level what it means to have sanctuary cities, what it means to have a government that will not prosecute those who are violating the law. Goodness, just got a frog in my throat day. And what it means to our children is that the law does not apply equally to everybody. You say to yourself the Pledge of Allegiance. The end of it is with liberty and justice for all. Now, I want you to play out this scenario in your mind. Say you live in a sanctuary city and you've got a rambunctious teenage boy. And that teenage boy has a friend who happens to be an illegal alien, but no problem because we're all open-minded and tolerant here, and we welcome our illegal, our criminal aliens from the South and other places. We welcome them to come here and make victims out of their children in perpetuity and draw criminals to, you know, because criminals will be drawn to those who can't fight back, and those who can't fight back are illegal aliens because they can't go to law enforcement. And I've talked about this before, too. But we welcome all these illegal aliens. We don't care about our laws. We don't care that our laws be enforced for them because we want to be nice. We want to be the best people. We want people to see us as tolerant and loving and nice. Okay, so your kid and his illegal alien friend, they both walk into the supermarket down the street. They both take, they're young and rambunctious and wanted to do the experiment maybe, or just because they're stupid, or because they're in high spirits, what have you. They both go in, they decide they're going to grab a soda, and then they become adventurous and say, let's not pay for it. Let's shoplift this. Okay? They both go out, they're caught. It's a sanctuary city. Who do the police arrest? Well, they can't arrest that other kid, that illegal alien, because you're a sanctuary city. They have to turn a blind eye to that and let him go. Because if they arrest him, then that means somebody's going to have to look at his citizenship and report him to DHS and, you know, whatever, and have him deported and his whole family. And, oh, my gosh, that would be a horrible, horrible nightmare, and we'd all look bad. Right? What happens to your kid? He's going to get arrested. He's going to get charged with stealing, maybe. You know, unless the grocer drops the charges or the policeman, it happens to be a sensible one who simply contacts you and says, you know, we can give him a pass this time. But if it's not one of those situations where it's all small towny, if it's big city and grocer says, hey, we can't be having that. I worked hard to build this business. The police say, hey, we enforce the law in this town. Except, of course, against illegal aliens. Say your kid and this illegal alien are both driving down the street in their own cars. They don't know each other. And they get into a fender bender. Who gets charged? Who has to pay all the damages? Not the illegal alien. That's a sanctuary city. They get to go free and clear. Do you think that our children don't recognize this inherent unfairness to them? Oh, and we've been having so many reports of nasty things spray painted that many of them are turning out to have been done by those who are just simply fomenting violence and division. Those who are not Trump supporters, spray painting things to make it look like Trump supporters, did the spray painting, the old white supremacy thing. But even if they're not, think about this. Who has been demonized by the left? Who must be demonized by the left? Who are the bad guys to the left for the last several decades? Christian males. Doesn't even have to be Christian. If you're white, you're automatically racist, according to the left. It's systemic racism. It's institutional racism. You can't help it. You're just a racist and a hater because you're white. Unless, of course, you're wearing a safety pin to let people know that you're safe. You don't believe it, what the rest of your race believes. Really? Really? Is that where we are now? Is that where we are now as a nation? You can say any nasty thing you like about somebody who's white and male or white and Christian, and it's okay because everybody knows that they're just nasty, nasty, judgmental people. There's a difference between being judgmental and having standards. You want to know? Oh, but if you have standards, God help you if you have standards. You're a judgmental pig. Intolerant. Intolerant, I label you. Really. You know what the first thing I saw on my wall was on Facebook when I came on after the election? Because I didn't watch any of the election coverage. I just didn't want to deal with it. first thing I saw was a posting from my niece, and it was a meme that somebody had posted with the word whore on it, and congratulations, this is your new first lady, and it was a photo of Melania Trump lying on her stomach, so nothing was exposed, particularly just the fact that she was nude. Now, first of all, this person needs to look up the definition of a whore. That's somebody who sells sex. Actual sex, not just the promise of sex through pictures. Second of all, what does this mean? They're calling her a whore, our new first lady. Does that mean that am I to understand now that the left has suddenly discovered a set of absolute moral values that they can call a woman who chooses to use her body however she likes? I thought they were big champions of that. Oh, a woman can do what she likes with her body, and if you don't agree, you're a prude and a hypocrite and horrible. Oh, really? But our new first lady, who as a model posed nude, and that particular picture is fairly tasteful for what it is. Now, as a Christian, I don't approve of that. Yeah, right, Kel. As a Christian, I don't approve of that because I think that marriage is a sacrament. It's sacred, and if you respect your husband, even if you respect your future husband if you're not married yet, or your future wife if you're not married yet, that you respect them by saving certain things to only be for them. And the sight of your naked body is one of those things. Especially because as you get older, that naked body gets ickier, and it's really nice, speaking as an older married woman, to know that when things are starting to sag and wrinkle, that he doesn't have anybody else to compare that to. So he can still be in love with me without any competition. That's one of the reasons that you do that. It's respect for your future spouse. But in today's culture, haven't the lefties been promoting nudity? Oh, we can go nude down the street. Women should be able to go topless, blah, 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 blah. But they're not sluts and whores. So has the left suddenly discovered a set of absolute moral values by which they can judge people? Oh, and we judge those children who are reacting to the fact that maybe now they can have a future where they are actually treated equally under the law. And the blogs that I've linked to are, the posts I've linked to are blog posts of mine that talk about the problem with illegal alien children and welcoming them into our schools, because the very fact that they are in our schools as illegal aliens tells our children that their teachers, the administration, and the police in their country, in their school, in their county, in their city do not respect the law, do not hold the law as sacred, and will enforce the law subjectively rather than objectively. Oh, the law doesn't apply to this one because of that subjective thing. When the law is supposed to be applied across the board equally. I know officers are supposed to have judgment. Yes, they are. I mean, you don't want to put a 5-year-old in jail for shoplifting because they forgot to put the car down that they were playing with as they walked out of the store. That's ridiculous. And yes, there's somebody who called Michelle Obama an ape in heels, in high heels. And I'm not happy about that because the first ladies don't have a choice. Their husbands have been elected. I mean, they have a choice to say, no, I don't want you to run for president, honey, because that will be annoying to me. Because people will treat me badly because no matter what you do, not everybody's going to love you and a goodly number of people are going to hate you. But they don't have a choice about being in the public eye. And I don't criticize, if I can help it, their children. Unless their children are being added as aides and paid on our dime to go traveling the world with mom and dad. Although that's how businessmen do it, but this is the White House, okay? You don't get to call names to people who have no choice about being in their position. I think that's just rude. And I know that it happens across the board. It's not a left or right thing, it's a people thing. But the idea that you say you're against intolerance and everybody should be allowed to do everything and transgender should be able to go into the dressing room with a little tiny girl and teach her that it's okay for her to undress in front of a man. But and if you don't like it, then you're intolerant. Oh, but then they get to say nasty things about our new First Lady because she posed nude. They get to say, oh, you're intolerant because you believe you have a right to have the law enforced objectively across the board. I don't think so. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You say, oh, I'm scared. Donald Trump is the new Hitler. No, you are the new Hitlers. Mr. Obama led us to Hitler. Because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, communism cannot tolerate dissension. It can't tolerate dissension. And it can't tolerate dissension because dissension means people can say, hey, that's wrong, that's not fair, that's not nice. And under communism, everybody is supposed to be the same. Everybody will be a round peg in a round hole or a square peg in a square hole, and we're not happy that we have to have round and square. Because that's how communism works. They want equality of results, not equality of starting out, not equality of opportunity. And you had better get a clue, people. You're being used. The fact that there have to be paid people to organize these marches and protests that turn into riots ought to tell you something. It ought to tell you that you're being played by the people who want this country to be a communist nation, because that's what it is. You are useful innocents. That was the original term, useful innocents, but it has since been turned into useful idiots, and I have to agree, you're useful idiots. You are allowing yourself to be used so that you can appear to be the good guys when you're actually driving us into communism, which kills people, millions and millions of people. And moving on to the other ideology that kills millions and millions of people, religion. Mr. Frank Gaffney is reported to be helping Mr. Trump select national security advisors, and the left is having a hissy fit because the truth doesn't fit their narrative. And the article I found on this is in the, I think it's the Independent UK. Yeah, Independent UK. And their headline is, Donald Trump appoints Islamophobic conspiracy theorist to transition team. No. He's appointed a man who has his eyes open. And quite frankly, Mr. Gaffney is a little too tolerant for my tastes. Mr. Gaffney is willing to allow that there are many, many Muslims who are not violent extremists. What I'm saying is that at this point in time, every single Muslim out there knows exactly what their doctrine says. And if they don't, they're lazy or disingenuous. And they, if they are decent people who don't like it, they convert away from that barbaric death cult. And if they don't, then they are either committing taqiyya or they are actively working to destroy this nation as they are required to do. So Mr. Gaffney from the Center for Secure Policy, or Center for Security Policy, I'm not sure which it is. Their YouTube channel is Secure Freedom. You can go look up some of their stuff there. But the fact is, he's not an Islamophobe. Phobia is an unreasonable fear. Fear of Islam is not unreasonable because they kill people. And they're horrible and barbaric. So yeah, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because, as I said, the article was absolutely a hissy fit and egregious, and it calls him a liar and all sorts of nasty stuff. And Mr. Gaffney has reportedly already suggested that his vice president at the Center for Security Policy, Claire Lopez, be shortlisted to become Mr. Trump's deputy security advisor. I don't know if that's true, but if it is, then Mr. Trump has made a smart move there, because at least he's got somebody who can tell him, that guy from the Obama administration, member of the Muslim Brotherhood, that guy, member of CARE, that guy, member of Muslim Businessmen's Association or whatever. they're having a hissy fit because he's a conspiracy theorist because he suggests that Mr. Obama appointed Muslims in high places. Well, Mr. Obama did appoint Muslims in high places. That's not a conspiracy. That's an observation. And now, doing what's right. I'm going to spend 10 minutes on doing what's right because this is kind of close to home here. And Ms. Oriana Paul has been on this show, and she is the organizer of the Sheboygan Liberty Coalition, which is the local Tea Party group in Sheboygan County. And like I said, she's been on this show before. And you know how I can tell those protesters whose protests are turning into riots and stuff that they're being played? Because the people organizing them are getting paid by socialist organizations and Democrat organizations. Ms. Paul did this for nothing. She organized a Tea Party movement. She's kept it going. She has been the head of it. And she has done this through thick and thin. And now I am calling out all you Tea Partiers because she needs some help. And I'm going to read off, I'm just going to read down their GoFundMe page that a friend started for them. And if y'all, Bigfoot and Kel, could share this, that would be great. I've also got a link to it on my Facebook page. And, you know, help these folks out because they need it. I am writing on behalf of some dear friends. A friend of theirs started this Facebook page, or this GoFundMe page, Oriana and Bill Paul. These are two very hardworking Christian people who've been involved in the community working tirelessly to make a difference. Their dedication is notable and their love for country and community is unparalleled. But over the past few years, the Pauls have faced numerous difficult challenges and could really use some help. Bill lost his job as an IT professional and age has been working against his finding a similar new position. Despite submitting thousands of applications, Bill has been unsuccessful at obtaining full-time employment. He's presently working in a part-time position at a local business to help pay their bills. They also started a business, a small farm, to supplement their income. They raise livestock and sell organic products such as lamb, pork, chicken, and farm-fresh eggs. And the eggs are good. They love the farm, and their hope was to make it a retirement project, something to keep them busy and active in the community by producing wholesome food. You can visit their Facebook site. It's Breezy Acres, B-R-E-Z-E-E Acres. This past summer, much changed when Oriana became very ill with a sinus infection and bronchitis. Despite treatment, she did not get well. The coughing was severe and would not stop. Oriana developed complications that landed her in emergency, which led to numerous tests and the discovery of a rare airway condition called tracheobronchomalacia. Now, in children now, they have done a couple of transplants where they use 3D printing to create a new airway for them, essentially. But they haven't done it in adults, and it's not approved for adults, and it's unlikely that if it were, it would happen in time for her. It's a condition where the bronchi and trachea collapse when she exhales. As a result, it causes significant breathing issues. It can become dangerous and potentially life-threatening when Oriana gets sick because she has difficulty coughing anything out of her lungs. She was also diagnosed with asthma, which complicates the situation. Oriana is under the care of a team of specialists from several different medical organizations. Initially, a serious major surgery was considered in an attempt to correct her collapsing airway, but a bronchoscopy yielded questions whether the surgery should be done at this time. After a careful evaluation by the doctors, it was decided to take a more conservative approach to get the coughing under control with a number of nebulized drugs and the use of a CPAP machine, which she can't get, but we'll get to that later. Later, Oriana will undergo a second bronchoscopy to reevaluate her condition and determine if she needs surgery for that. She will be closely monitored. Another complication, due to 4 months of severe coughing, the stress took a toll on her body, resulting in multiple prolapsed organs. It's causing numerous additional problems that need to be repaired with major reconstructive surgery done with robotic assistance. The cost for the surgery is prohibitive with Oriana and Bill's current financial situation. Oriana has insurance, but the out-of-pocket expense is more than they can afford. It also doesn't include all her other ongoing medical expenses, medication, supplies, doctor expenses, and etc. Oriana is in need of a CPAP machine too, but insurance won't cover that cost unless she's diagnosed with sleep apnea. The test is being scheduled, but if she doesn't have sleep apnea, then she'll have to absorb that cost as well. And those suckers are expensive, let me tell you. Oriana had previous health issues. She has a benign brain tumor that periodically triggers seizures. Due to her inability to tolerate anti-seizure medications, she had a service dog, Micaiah, a very special little Cocker Spaniel, that could detect a seizure before it occurred. Micaiah gave Oriana the freedom to drive and do things that would otherwise be limited. Micaiah was also a wonderful companion and friend. Tragically, the day after Oriana received terrible news about her airway problems, her beloved service dog suddenly became ill and died. She had a small unknown cancerous tumor on her spleen that ruptured and was hemorrhaging. Her condition was grave, and the painful decision to put her down was made. It was a huge loss for Oriana, especially dealing with her current health issues. She would like another dog, but it is quite costly not only for the dog, but also for the training. Oriana and Bill have been through a horrendous ordeal, and I wish this was the end of the story, but recently, while Bill was trying to capture a goat that escaped from its pen, his boot got caught in the mud and he damaged his knee. He now requires surgery. The problem, after Bill lost his job, he also lost his medical insurance. He was just 5 months away from receiving Medicare when the accident happened. Also, Bill will not be able to work for 4 to 6 weeks while recovering from surgery. This leaves the Pauls with few resources to pay all the expenses, not to mention how do they take care of the farm and the animals. Oriana and Bill now face the decision of whether they need to give up their farm and possibly their home in order to pay all the medical and other bills. If it's in your heart to help Oriana and Bill, it would truly be a blessing. I know it would lift their spirits and ease some financial burdens so they can keep their home, pay for ongoing medical expenses, and possibly allow Oriana to get a new service dog. And they set a $15,000 goal, of which in the past 21 hours since it went up, they've raised $395. So spread it around if you can. And I know that's taking a big portion of my show, but the Tea Party group that Oriana organized was tremendous. And she has worked her tushy off, and they have just had this one thing after another. And for me, that's like saying, okay, the devil doesn't like what you're doing. And any help that you can, you know, that you can give, share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook, and let's see if we can't get them some money raised. I prefer to do stuff like that anonymously myself. I don't like the online stuff, but, you know, do what you can if you can. And, you know, I'm somebody who uses my show to ask for help for people, but every once in a while, you know somebody, and they just need the help. So that is my show, but I've got a whole minute left. So thanks for joining me, Bigfoot, and Kel, always good to see you. And I've got one more show where I have to do something else. And Kel has very kindly offered me a spot on her show, and I am considering that, or on her network, and I am considering that seriously. But I'm also seriously considering concentrating more on the blog, or maybe starting a podcast of my own to be run out of the blog, although I'm not sure how that would work yet, or maybe a YouTube channel. But then, of course, you'd have to look at my lovely face, which is a beautiful face for radio. So we'll have to see where I go with that. As I said, I'm still considering things, and I am so thankful to BTR for 6 years. I've been doing this for 6 years. It'll be in April if we made it that long. We are all an irate, tireless minority of one, we can all make a difference, and we are all supposed to. So get yourself out there. Have a great week.